Good luck, everybody. I wish we would be speaking on a better occasion.
This conference is being recorded.
We are getting together tonight to speak about our yeshiva, the Mosin Sivya Hatala, because of Rocha, that it's still hard to imagine that we're talking about him in the past. He was so much part of our lives, he was so real. I was lying in bed a few hours ago and just thinking about how it's just hard to believe that he was here and he's not. I don't know if there's anybody who had more chias and more reality to him, more of a mitzias to him than I'm not in see. When the topic goes away, so it's brought down on this forum that the ones left behind can pick up the legacy, can pick up the Yerusha that he left behind, his Ruchni, his Avoida. Each person can pick up a chelag of it. So besides remembering him and being misayir from the great loss we have, we should also try to pick up the pieces of the legacy of the Yerusha that is great, great, great nifter left over for us. And now's the opportunity to pick up what he left, to pick up what he taught us, pick up his legacy. I'm certainly not attempting or claiming to encompass and talk about the entire legacy of Rabbeinu of Mosin Tzvi. I'm certainly not in a position to evaluate it, to be ma'arich, to talk about it. But one or two things that from my angle that I was able to see that I thought maybe all of us could share with all of us, to try to grab onto in these moments when it's available. All of us knew, all of us who grew up in the yeshiva, all of us saw that the Rosh Yeshiva of Mosin Tzvi wasn't a healthy person. He didn't have strength. He wasn't well for many years. I remember many meetings where I would sit in his house and he would be lying on the couch, fully alert as usual, but with no physical strength. And he would say sometimes, "Can you please move my pillow?" He didn't have the kechus to move the pillow. He had the kechus to learn the sugya. He had the kechus to make plans. He had the kechus to worry about a bocha. But at the same second, he didn't have kechus to move his pillow. And he would say, "Do me a favor, move the pillow." Now, under normal circumstances, a person who's in that state of health is either in a nursing home or he's at home in bed, not doing anything the whole day. But let's take an honest look at the picture that we were all exposed to over the last few decades. We have in front of us a person who's very, very sick and very weak, whose body is rebelling against him and refusing to do what he wants to do. So a person like that normally is potter from Tefillah B'Tzibur. A person like that is potter from learning Daf Yomi. A person like that is certainly potter from building buildings, collecting tens of millions of dollars all over the world over tens of years, from receiving thousands of people for counsel, for eitzah, for bracha, for advice, for managing every detail in the yeshiva, in the ruchnius, in the learning, what every shir is doing and how the bracham are doing, and being nice to every yachid. How many of us are nice to a yachid? How many of us are b'chal when we're not in a good mood, when we don't feel well, do we have the courage to be nice? And what happens if a person doesn't feel well all the time? What happens if a person doesn't feel well on a very high level all the time? It didn't affect in the slightest bit his gewaldige ava and his gewaldige geschmack and his gewaldige simcha and somebody else 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Nobody ever went in to Rabbeinu of Mosin Tzvi and said, "Oh, he's in a bad mood, he doesn't feel well." So for a healthy person to do what he did, it would have taken 50, 100 people. Koshkin, a person who was so not well, where did he get the kechus? What's the secret? Where's the push? We live in a door, live in a world where if we have a headache, we get up in the morning, we have a headache. that we get up in the morning, we don't feel that well. We get up in the morning, the things are difficult. We're already in trouble. The rest of our day is not. We operate our half, on a half function. How we deal with people around us. And here we have a person who, in all situations, in all matzavim, ignore the limitations of his body in any way, both meradim lamokrim, both meradim lachavero, both hotelers a yeshiva. Like they said at the Levaya, kulay nefesh, kulay neshama. How does a regular person, how does a human being push himself to such a limit that he has no barriers, b'chol? No barriers. Shir Kali 3 or 4 times a week in all types of different cities, holding cup in the sugya, tens of chavrusas a day. Sometimes you're able to talk, sometimes you're not able to talk. It doesn't make a difference. One of his son-in-law spoke in yeshiva last week and said he came back from one of the trips to America. We couldn't speak. Sometimes his illness caused they couldn't speak. It didn't stop him from sitting down in front of the Gemara for 5 hours straight with a chavrusa without talking. But he was able to hint with his eyes which, what was a good svara, what wasn't a good svara. These are things which are lemme almuda adain. These are things not from our world. How could a person attain binadun lamokrim, binadun lachaveru, shlemos, without a gvul, without a stop, without any limitations all over the world? And we saw it in front of us. Even last week, we saw him say a shir koli, where on one hand, he's trying to hold on to his body and his hat and his shtender and his gemara, and at the same time, he's saying, ten lishitosas in a complicated sugya. Where in the world, where in the history of the yeshivas was ever such a phenomenon? And this greatness and this lack of boundaries and this lack of physical limitations makes it very hard for us to even think about how we adopt his legacy. What do we have shaykhs discussing? We're talking about a malach or somebody who lives without a guf. But what's the nekuda that we can hop onto? What's the nekuda that we can latch onto? I want to maybe touch on one or two nekudas, and it's certainly not the entire picture. Of course, there's no question about it that he was larger than life. When we start to think about what we saw in front of us, he was talking larger than life. He talking did things which we can't even imagine and think about and consider doing. But perhaps there's one nekuda behind it. I want to touch on a different nekuda and connect it. In all the years that I'm personally teaching in Mir Yeshiva, we had many, many, many discussions, spent many hours with him, talking about the yeshiva, about the bachrim, how he wants it done, how things should be done, how does the yeshiva expand as the yeshiva grew. There never was a time in any discussion, and I checked this over the last few days with other people who had to do with him in long discussions about running the yeshiva. There never was a time, I repeat, there never was a time when he ever took into consideration himself, into any discussion, into any consideration, into any suffix about the running of the yeshiva. What's good for me? What's good for my family? There never was such a consideration. I can say it with the fullest achrayus. That a person, an Adam Gadol, who's running an institution with 10 buildings, with branches all over, with a huge budget, and any issue that came up was only considered on 100% level through the eyes of what's good for Torah, what's good for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's good for the Bachur. Never passed through his mind, what do I have out of it? What's good for me? What's my position on it? The Zich never played a role. The Reinkite, the Mikius, wasn't partial and it wasn't on a gewaltig gedarge, it was absolute, to a point that only a Malach could be in such a Reinkite. And I used to wonder always, and I still wonder till today, and I think about it, how does a person get to such a matzav where his zich doesn't play a role? No negias. He had no negias for himself in any discussion that ever came up. What's the pshat in that? How does a person get to a point where he has no negias at all? And I think that the answer is one word. He lived for the emes. a person can get to this point by living for emes, not knowing the emes and not machshiv the emes, but living the truth. When the emes drips into a person's bones and it becomes part of him, so there are no negiyas. So any discussion that comes up, and any issue that's raised, and any suffix that there is, the klal or the prat, the tevis a yeshiva, which base medrash, who, what, when, and where, it's all filtered through only through one glass, one eye, one look. And the look at emes, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? This was the essence, and this was the legacy of Avnosan Tzvi, the Chetzadik, the Kodesh of the Vrocha. It was the emes, the unadulterated emes, and in that world of emes, he, his own negiyas, his own needs, not only didn't play a role, they didn't exist. A lot of us know the emes. We know what the truth is, but we don't live by it. Because it's not enough part of us, so we distract ourselves with sheker. Rabbeinu HaGadol of Zvi Finkel taught us that there's such a thing that a person can live a life without negiyas, a person can live a life with emes. And that emes could radiate to the running of a yeshiva, to ben odom lamokum, to ben odom lachaveroi, where there's no zich, there's no taking myself because I'm focused totally and only on what the emes is. I think that this nekuda of living by the truth, living for the truth, not just knowing it, not just something theoretical, is the secret behind his lack of boundaries. His lack of boundaries of his own guf, his lack of boundaries in his dedication to Talmidim, his lack of boundaries geographically in the amount of yeshivas and Mekumas HaTera that he built, his lack of boundaries in the amount of Talmidim that he took in. And I think it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, by Yaakov Avinu, but Yaakov Avinu, we find the bracha of paratzta, of breaking through all the boundaries in all directions without a goal. We say in Zemiras on Shabbos, Nachas Yaakov b'li mitzorim nachalo. The nachal of Yaakov Avinu has no boundaries, has no limitations. Why Dafka, out of all the others, is Yankov without a boundary? Why out of all the others is Yankov without a metza, without a gvul, without a limitation? The pshat is because Yankovina was emes, titain emes liyankov. Emes has no limitations. Emes, v'yatsiv, v'nochoim, v'kayim, la'ad, lo'ilam. You know that time is also a physical limitation. The metzias of time, which was created in the world, is a physical zach. All physical things are under the shlita of time, and as they go on, they fade. So one of the physical boundaries in the world is time. There's a limit. It goes till there, and then it disappears. And Yaakov Avinu, who was emes, Yaakov Avinu lemes. Yaakov Avinu never died. Yaakov Avinu was eternal because he was emes. And emes is always a vaylam void. It's nochon v'kayim. It's stable. It never moves. It's never limited by anything. The secret of the secret that Yaakov Avinu was belimit sarim nachala, the secret that Yaakov Avinu didn't have limitations, is because the truth has no limitations. The truth is not physically bound. The truth is not held in any way. And because Yaakov Avinu lived a life of emes, he was a metzias of emes. He didn't know the emes. So he wasn't limited by any physical limitations, not time, not place, not body. I was once sitting in yeshiva with him, and a little boy came in to get a bracha, and the yeshiva asked the boy, what are you learning? So the little boy answered, he was learning Parshas Lech Lecha. So he turns to him and says, you know, little boy, if somebody would tell you to go somewhere and not tell you where to go, would your father let you? Is that a normal thing? Rosh Boku says to Avram, go. He doesn't tell him where to go, and Avram Avinu starts to go. Does that make sense to you? The little boy didn't know what to answer. And then he turns to me, and Nosson Tzvi turns to me and he says, he points at himself and he says, that's me. I'm Lech Lecha. I'm marching and I'm moving and I'm making progress. I don't know exactly where I'm going to end. I don't know where my final limit is. Because there is no final, there is no finish line, he said. Lech Lecha, I am moving. That's my motto. I'm moving without knowing necessarily where my destination is, because I'm not limited by my destination. I'm going to go as far as I can go and keep going. Lech Lecha, move, make progress. And that was the motto, and that was the legacy of Rav Nosson Tzvi, that I have no limitations, because my etzem mechus is a mechus of Lech Lecha without a destination. The etzem progress itself, the etzem moving, whether it's in learning, whether it's in building maestas, whether it's in being kind to people, there were no boundaries because it was fueled by emes. Emes has no boundaries. The way a person cultivates and acquires this midah of emes, titen emes liyakov, which leads to this lech lecha, is a person brings the emes into himself, the years of hasmada, the years of amal b'teira, around the clock, day and night. The stories of his hasmada were legendary in Mir Yeshiva. Then a person makes the emes part of him. And when a person makes the emes part of him, then all of a sudden, one day, all the gvul goes away, all the boundaries disappear. And all the hardships can't block. Because it's paratzta, yom of akedna, tefayin of anegba. Wherever there's emes, there's paratzta, there's lech lecha. There's no boundary, there's no gvul, there's no finish line. So even though it might be hard for us to inherit the entire scope of the legacy of Rav Nosson Tzvi, I told the Bachurim this week that before you start building 5 yeshivas, come to Seder on time. Come to davening on time. Let's all of us push the boundaries that we have in our life. But the only way we're going to ever push boundaries is by living lives of emes, by bringing Teiras emes into our life. And emes starts, the lack of boundaries start in a Teisus, in a Rajbo, in a davening, where a person searches for the emes in a sugya, where a person searches for the emes in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person cultivates and acquires emes in his life in every area, it becomes part of him. Insofar as much as he's clean to emes, he can emes liyakov, that's how much he can break the boundaries. So if you want to know, if we want to know how much, how deep, how comprehensive was Rav's dedication to emes, we can look at the boundaries. And if there were no boundaries, physical, ruchnius, then we know that he was kulay emes. And that nekuda of living emes, not living lives of fake, not living lives of terutzim, not fooling ourselves, that legacy we can all adapt to ourselves. The amount of boundaries that we're going to push and the amount of limitations, that's up to us. That depends how much emes we're going to do. And emes starts with emes in a tesis. Emes starts with our relationship with people. Emes starts with our davening. Emes means that a person lives a life of emes. He makes a cheshbon and nefesh. Is he fooling himself or not? And as much as we acquire and grab onto emes, that's how much we're going to push the boundaries. That's the first legacy that I wanted to speak about. The second nekuda that I wanted to speak about was many younger light have called me over the last week, particularly those who learned in the yeshiva 10, 15 years ago, crying bitterly about the loss. Particularly, there were hundreds and hundreds of Bachurim who 10, 15 years ago had an unusual close relationship with the Rosh Yeshiva, who literally picked them up 10 floors above the ground. And I always think about his ability, and I used to always tell him that there's nobody who can pick up a bachur like you. There's nobody who can radiate godless to a bachur like you. There's nobody who can make a bachur believe in himself like you. I used to tell him all the time that I need you every minute in the base measure, because your touch was magic. Any bachur that ever came into personal contact with him was changed for life. He believed in himself because he saw that it's possible to push the boundaries. It's possible to live a life of emes. I was thinking of one more nekuda regarding that. A bacha once told me, I went with a bacha chavrusa many years ago. He described to me the following scenario. He came to yeshiva, and at the beginning of his manah, it was one of the biggest manah where hundreds of bacharim came, and the Rosh Yeshiva, the Chayin of Levracha, was lying on the couch. He had no kreches b'chal, as it happened many times. And there were tens of bacharim online. He told me there were 40 bacharim online waiting to get accepted. There were 20 before him and 20 after him. And he was in the middle. He came to the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva was lying on the couch. He looked like he had zero kreches. The boy started to say akasha. And after 30, 40 seconds, the Rosh Yeshiva waved him on and told him, you can go on, you're accepted. That was the scene, how he was accepted to the yeshiva. 6 months later on, at the dinner in New York, this boy's father came up to the Rosh Yeshiva and said to him, I'm so-and-so's father. You don't know my son, but he learns in the yeshiva. So he said, of course I know your son. Your son spoke to me at the Faher about this and this sugi. He spoke very well. He asked me a very good kasha. And the boy said, listen to me. The Rosh Yeshiva was lying on the couch, and there were 40 boys there. I spoke to him for under a second. Where does such a connection come from? It's not just from a photographic memory. The ability to be able to give each person the full attention and the covet and the ava is that every person who ever came through his Dalai Lama's made an impression on him. And that's because of his ava and the chashivas of every person. And I want to bring out a certain akuda. What is that? What is that darga of ava of every person? The mission says in Ovis, Rabbi Akiva, who are you? Omer Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelam. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelam. Chibu Yisayr Anoydu Lo Shenivra B'Tzelam. Shenema B'Tzelam Alekim Asaz Adam. There's a Gavaldi Gechiba that a person is Nivra B'Tzelam Alekim. Chibu Yisayr Shenema B'Tzelam Alekim Asaz Adam. The Mefarshim ask a Gavaldi Gekasha. If Rabbi Akiva is coming to say that a person has a Chavivos because he was Nivra B'Tzelam, so obviously the pasuk that they should have bought is the pasuk from Bereishis, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created a person, B'Tzelem Elokim. What's funny is that the pasuk that the Mishnah brings is a pasuk from Noach, where it says, Shefech Dam, you're not allowed to kill somebody, B'Tzelem Elokim, also the Adam. And when Rabbi Akiva wants to prove that Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, he brings the pasuk of Noach, where it says the Isser of Ritzicha. It's a Pella Otzim. The Sfasana says in this week's Parsha, in a few places, that Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem is coming to say that not only the neshama of a person is chashuv, but the guf of the person is chashuv. And in order to prove that the guf of the person also is a tzelem alekim, the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva, the Tana, brought down the pasuk of Parshas Noach, which says you're not allowed to kill the person. There's an isser of ritzicha because the guf of a person is kaddish. Because the guf of a person is holy. It says by Adam Arishan, the Malachim said kaddish, kaddish, kaddish on his guf. So Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem is going on a person's guf, is going on a person's physical existence in the world. Shenema B'Tzelem Alekim also as Adam, the Mishnah Dafka means the pasuk from Noach, which is referring to the chashivas and the kedusha of a person's guf, not just his neshama. Dvarim Nairoim from the Sfas Emes. I think that the Rosh Yeshiva had an ability to see in every person B'Tzelem Alekim. And the reason why he had an ability to see in every person Tzelem Elokim because he wasn't machshir himself or anything. He didn't see himself. So he always saw the chilek alakai mal in every person who came his way. And therefore every person made an impression on him. A person can only see the Tzelem Elokim in somebody else. A person can only see the greatness in somebody else. Only as much as he's not machshir himself. Otherwise, a person just sees himself the whole day. He's wrapped up in himself. And the ability of the Lachan sees the Chatzadik, the Kodesh Levracha, not just to see every person, but to see the Tzelem Elokim in every person, to see the greatness in every person, to see the potential in every person, is a function, is a result of his ability not to see himself and not to be wrapped up in himself. And the total bittul, the lack of negius, and lack of agenda that he had for himself, allowed him to open his eyes and see the greatness in every person that came his way. And when a person bumps into greatness, it could be you're lying on a couch and you have no kechus, and you're in the middle of interviewing 40 boys, but each person has greatness. Greatness always makes a roshim. Tzelem Elokim makes a roshim. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Every person around us has greatness. Every person has something special. Every person is a Tzelem Elokim. Our ability to see that or our inability to see that is a direct result of how much we're wrapped up in ourselves, how much we're wrapped up in our own agenda. And when a person has no agenda of themselves and no zich, then he can see with the ultimate and absolute clarity the Tzelem Elokim of every person that comes their way, connect to it, respect it, lift it up, develop it, and more than anything else, love it. And give it love. And that's why thousands of people were able to connect to him and receive to him. And he's able to raise them up and lift them up because he saw the godliness in every person. We in our own lives may not have that effect on such a vast number of people. But we have children. We have wives. We have family members. We have talmidim. We have friends. The ability to see the good in every person, the ability to connect to every person, the ability to love every person, comes from the ability to see the greatness, the Tzelem Elokim in every person. But that's only a result of how much emes we live, how much we don't have our own personal agenda, how much we're not wrapped up in ourselves. And this great nifter, who we're going to miss very much, had no personal agenda. He lived a life of emes. He had took nothing from himself. He thought nothing of himself. He was completely and absolutely selfless. And therefore, every person who came his way was a gadol. Every person who came his way had potential. We can all implement that in our lives. Give a chashivas and a gadlus to those who are around us. And like I said earlier, wherever there's a nekuda of emes, there's nitzchias. So if we can take something out of this terrible, terrible tragedy, it's a dedication and a rededication to living a life of emes, to living a life of honesty, to having an emes agenda, not to be wrapped up in our own little cottons, but to live a life of dedication to emes of Avodas Hashem and Limud HaTorah and Midas, the emes of it. And then we'll be zeicha to the Yatziv and Nochem V'Kayim, we'll be Bila Mavos and Netzach, we'll be a Zchus and an Ilu Neshama for the Rosh Hashiva, who we owe so much to, who stands in front of us even now as Amud Onel Lefnei HaMachne, as an example of dedication and bittul to Ritzonei Yisbarach.